You're listening to Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran. Guys, we are now on Anchor. Go on Anchor. There's awesome options on there to help support the podcast and keep it going. And as always, we are on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever your podcasts are found. I am here today with a very, very special guest. He is a coach, entrepreneur, author, like the list goes on, and an amazing friend of mine, Sean David. How are you?
Hi, I'm awesome. Thank you.
You should be awesome because you have a book coming out that's like a big deal, like you're like been working on for the past few years.
Yes. Vision-based living, igniting life's passions and purpose. It's a very powerful book. And literally it's taken me 4 years from the beginning to right now when it's going to be published.
Yeah. And I've been following your journey on social media. And, you know, was really excited to see you get your author copies and everything. But let's start from the beginning. You had an amazing transformation in your life that led to you starting on this journey with the book. And let's start with there instead of just going into, you know, what's the book and how to live a vision-based life. Because you yourself, a lot of this is from your life experience.
Absolutely. Sure. So transformation. It's a long story. I need to write another book just about.
Let's do it. Let's do it. A short version.
Yeah,
mini
no,
version.
No problem. So, as you mentioned, I am an entrepreneur and I ran a business for many, many years. And with that comes a lot of stress and a lot of trials and tribulations with running business and responsibilities. So, I made it through the economic crash of 2008, and that was a big time struggle for the next following years. And basically I kind of hit rock bottom during that time because it was so challenging for many businesses closed doors and I was able to keep it going. Well, in 2010, so I made it through, I was able to get invited to a leadership training, which really changed my life. And that allowed me to realize that there was more to life than just running my business. Mm-hmm. And working 6 days a week and 12 hours a day. It was about living. And that's truly where my transformation began. And it was a powerful journey of realizing that I actually matter and my life matters versus where's the next project coming from, being stressed out about business. So it was a huge realization for me that life is worth living to the fullest and enjoying instead of stressing.
It's so powerful what you're saying, and it resonates with me so deeply because I know so many successful entrepreneurs and business owners that are stressed out of their minds, and it's like they have no, you know, I did read through about 50% of the sample that you sent me of the book, so I didn't finish yet, but and there's so many people that are living life, I would say, on automatic, as you describe it, mm-hmm. unconsciously, as you describe it, ego-based living, where they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. And that's what you're describing. You're talking about someone, yourself, that was basically running on a hamster wheel, almost. It had no concept of what was the purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the vision?
Yeah, absolutely. Connecting with vision is so powerful. There's in the book, it's all vision-based living. The entire book is just a plethora of information about what vision is, how to tap into that, how to live by it, and really to make choices that are aligned with a person's vision for their life. And that's really profound once a person discovers that. There is a whole journey with that. And I believe it's a lifetime journey because every day is a new moment and every moment is a new opportunity. So there's never a set in stone way to find and live by a vision. It's just what resonates with a person and to make choices from that place of vision.
What would you say that your vision was before you had this awakening?
Well, my vision was all about business. My vision was was just to run a successful company. And although I was able to stay in business for 15 years, which is that in itself a success, it was all about monetization and creating a living
So it wasn't a truly flushed out life. It was a very superficial. Would you say it was superficial? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, superficial. Let's say a lot of it was material based.
Material. Okay.
Because
versus spiritual, emotional.
Versus spiritual, interpersonal. Life is really an inward journey. And for many years, I made it an outward journey. And I think that's what a lot of people do, even today, where there's people who are famous or even not so famous, they identify with material things. And hey, the material things are great. But when a person identifies their life on those material things, it leaves a much bigger meaning to life on the table. It's about letting go of all of that materialness and having a life worth living come from what inspires a person. What are they passionate about? What are the things that will elevate their life instead of, hey, let's go for that next buck or that next sale or go to work every day. So many people have jobs and it becomes about living to work instead of working to live.
I definitely know what you're talking about. And I'll give an example for the listeners that's based in my life experience. And that's with my comedy. You know, many of you guys know me as a stand-up comedian. And there was a time before I shifted as well, where I was out there trying to get famous. And that was my goal. My goal was to get famous. And in the back of my mind, I had this story that I told myself that I wanted to get famous to help other people, but it really was an ego-based thing. And when I transformed and did the inner work that you're talking about and that we both know, we took a similar workshop, it was that I shifted from I have to feed my ego mind to I'm just going to bring joy. I'm going to bring joy and make people laugh. And that's my vision and that's my purpose. And so even though I'm doing the same actions as I was doing before, the come from is different. And that's, I think, really hard for people to understand because they're like, well, you haven't really changed. It's an internal change. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally relate to that. And congratulations on you living your passions and expressing yourself in a way that entertains people from a place of what drives you and what matters to you instead of that ego living. I can totally relate to that. By the way, I am a Screen Actors Guild member, so I totally relate to the that getting out there and wanting to going to auditions. And I did that whole lifestyle for so many years. Now I'm just a member for other benefits and perks, like voting for the Screen Actors Guild Awards and all that. So
you're like, I want my sample movies.
Exactly.
I want my screeners.
Exactly.
No, it's coming from a completely different place. If I have a bad show, which I rarely have bad shows now, because one, I think people can feel the joy and energy. And two, because it actually doesn't even matter if people laugh at me. Like, I did a show and there was four people in the audience and I said, you know what, I'm just going to have a blast. And I had a blast and a woman came up to me and said, I made her night. And I mean, it just happened to be one of those nights. I was a dead night at the comedy club. And she was like, I've never seen someone have so much fun with four people in their room. And it's just shifting that energy. Meanwhile, I know comedians, you know, God bless them, who if they have, you know, someone doesn't laugh at them or their joke doesn't go well, they're in the back ready to, you know, fall into a deep depression because they're not coming from, I'm here to spread joy. They're coming from, I need to get my needs met. I need, my ego needs to be fed. My self-esteem needs to be fed. And it's coming from this place of desperation and void and loneliness. And I totally understand that because I've been there, but you know, what you're saying is, and what your book is saying is so much more powerful. And so it's like, what's the point of us being here on this planet? We don't know. And if you don't have that vision like you're talking about, you're just might as well, you know, you're just a robot.
Yeah.
In a way.
A lot of people, that's a big part of the book, at least in the beginning introduction, where I go into people live this robotic life. And it just becomes like living on its routine. It's fine to have a routine. A lot of people have families, kids, responsibilities, work, jobs, whatever that is, but then they're focused on being in that routine so much that there's no thought to it. It just becomes like the ho-hum.
Gotta feed the kids, gotta take them to soccer, gotta go to the work. And it's a checklist.
It's a checklist.
Instead of a life.
It becomes a checklist. And I think if a person can find any bit of joy in their life, that is huge. It goes from being upset or depressed, even with all those responsibilities, a person can be unfulfilled. And that's really what I'm getting at. And the point of vision-based living is to have a person find their joy, find their passion. And it's an inward journey. And I've laid it out pretty deeply in the book for a person to really, really look within. But once they find that spark, that joy, it inspires them to do something a little bit differently and to be more appreciative. And just like driving in today, there were wildflowers on the side of the road. And
I know, because of the rain, they're so beautiful.
Yeah, it was really incredible. And I mean, it was like a mountain of orange, and there were cars lined up for miles for people to enjoy. And even though there were so many other people driving by on the freeway, there were tons of people parked, and there were lines of people walking up into the hills, just being appreciative. So whatever that moment is for a person, whether it's looking at wildflowers or whatever joy becomes apparent in that moment, just take a moment to be appreciative. And it's really about finding gratitude and appreciation in where a person's at the moment.
I think first of all, that's beautiful. And you did text me the picture of the wildflowers, and they were beautiful. So yeah, that was a nice little morning reminder. But I think something that you mention in the book that's really, really important for people is when you take you give them steps, action steps, example stories of how to, you know, get connected with that lifestyle that you're talking about. But something that's really important and been really hard for me, because I'm a very intellectual person and you talk about it, is shifting into that emotional realm from the thought realm, the analyzer realm, the thinking realm, and shifting into your heart. And that's where you should be living. Why don't you talk about that a little bit more for the listeners?
Sure. I'm glad you mentioned that. Actually, the first line of the first chapter is the longest journey in life is the journey from the head to the heart. And that is something that hit me like out of nowhere. Back in 2012, it was one of the leadership teams that I was coaching that you're familiar with. And it was, I believe, the final meeting. There was like 50 of us in the room, and there was like 8 coaches, and then the person that runs the company is there. And it was like the final words of wisdom from the staff. So we all went around and shared something. And it's a very focused like space. So I shared authentically. I stepped out to the whole team and I said, you know, the longest journey in life is the journey from here to here. And I was pointing to the head and to the heart. And I remember the woman who runs the organization looked over at me, and she's like mouth open. Like, it was so powerful and so profound that I immediately, after that meeting, I wrote that down, and I knew that was going to be the first line of my book back then.
This is before you wrote the book.
This is before I wrote the book.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a journey in itself. But that journey from head to heart is a powerful one, and it really takes connecting to that vision and back to the joy and back to what matters and what am I here for? And once a person can find the answers to that question, and that comes from each person, it's not something that I can tell them, it's not something that you can tell them, it's not something that anyone other than that person can share with themselves. It's what brings me joy? How can I get out of my head? Because so many people have these thoughts just clogging their minds. And really, it's about letting go of those thoughts. Because thoughts either are in the future or they're in the past. And when we're present in the moment, we can create a sense of mindfulness. And that's when the heart space comes alive. And it's about connection. And it's about finding the beauty of living instead of just churning and churning. And usually with thoughts come worry.
Yes. And I want to say to the listeners, because some of you, you know, a lot of podcast listeners and a lot of the fans are intellectuals, and your thoughts and your ego are so powerful, they will even convince you that getting into your heart is a bad idea. Like, you know, they will try to intellectualize, because a lot of people's identity, including mine, was so wrapped up in my being intelligent. You know, I'm a smart person. So, well, if I let go of my thoughts, you know, who am I going to be? Or if I let go of, you know, I have to think about this. And people that are in the present, they're idiots. They're not thinking analytically and they're not processing information. And how can that happen? But you can still be a very thoughtful and intelligent person and live in the present.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about the ego. And this is a big part of my book where it's about overcoming those ego obstacles that are put in our way. And the ego really keeps us in that thought process and that questioning process and that what if scenario and paranoia and material and image driven. There are so many things that the ego does that we just quite don't understand. But what I talk about in the book about the ego is that if we take ourselves back, we're all humans, but take us back to the caveman days where the ego literally meant fight or flight. It meant, is this tiger stalking me? Like, is it going to get me or am I going to get it? And it's about being aware of when the crops are coming and what the weather is. There was no weather station. There were no TVs. I say in the book, the caveman invented off the grid. And I know it's true, but like we make such a big deal about going off
the grid now, right?
Going off
We're
the grid
now. We're just
going
back to basics.
Yeah. Off the grid means like being off of our cell phones for like an hour or two.
I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to stop you for a second because although I've had many wonderful life coaches and psychology guests and other things on my podcast, this is not a transformational podcast. Mm-hmm. So some of my listeners might not be familiar with your concept of the ego that you talk about in the book. So why don't you explain that in a little bit more layman's terms for some of the listeners?
Sure. Okay. So when people identify with the ego nowadays, it's having like an ego front, kind of an attitude, showing off, whether it's back to the material based, whether it's cars or clothes, or I have this, it's identifying with a lot of material things. The ego is really, really meant for survival mode. And it's construed these days to mean anything. Like if a person says something about them, if kids are in school and one person says one thing bad about another person, the ego can go off and that's where fights happen or that's where depression comes in. So the ego still is meant for survival mode to keep us safe. But what happens is through life, through how people are brought up, whether they're told what to do or what not to do, whether it's parents or peers or friends, maybe they've gotten involved with the wrong crowd, then that ego becomes a place of making decisions. And that is not the place to make decisions from because it's all from in the head.
It's like the monkey mind. I would describe it as like the little devil on your shoulder almost.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. For those of you who aren't clear on what it, I would describe it as the little devil on your shoulder that kind of doesn't really have your best interests.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's still to keep you safe, but it's safe in a way that get them before they get me.
And it's coming from fear, not love.
Coming from fear.
And not definitely not authenticity.
Not authenticity, not love. It's definitely coming from fear. People live in fear these days. Not like they're afraid to walk outside. It's just like, what does a person think of me?
Judgment.
How am I looking? Coming from judgment. I'll be judged by appearing a certain way. Versus, you know what? I am who I am. I'll step outside. I'm confident. I can breathe and I know everything will be okay. Versus all of that concern and all of that worry and all of that strife and struggling that comes from the ego mind.
I think what you said is really important because I think that insecurity, a lot of insecurity that people and I have experienced and, you know, I'll speak for myself, has come from actually living that inauthentic life. When you're connected to your vision, you're connected to who you really are, you really don't care what other people think because you're so confident. And it's that listening to that ego and that following the inauthentic life, something that's not right for you, that makes you feel insecure because you're not being who you are.
Mm-hmm. So a good place to recognize where that would be coming from is identifying with identifying with who you are is just the ability to simply walk out and not really care what other people think, because there's a level of confidence, and people confuse ego with confidence. It's a big difference. Confident just means a person is okay with the person that they've become through all of the problems and issues and learning experiences that have happened in the past up to where they are right now, just to be okay with everything and walk outside and be okay instead of worrying about, oh, this person's going to think this or that. It's just being confident with who they are authentically as a human being.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes also from childhood. You know, if you have a vision for yourself and maybe your parents have a different vision for what they think you should be. And, you know, that's happened to a lot of people I know.
Yes. A lot of that, I do cover that topic in the book, where if a person is really passionate about something, and I give examples throughout the book, but one thing that's coming to mind, let's say there's a family of farmers and that's been their history for generations, but there's a young one who's really passionate about playing sports, and whether it's football or baseball or whatever it is irrelevant. It's the fact that they're passionate about something and they want to accomplish something other than, let's say, family farming. Now, that actually gets to be okay for the person that wants to get into sports, but the family may not be okay with it because it's generations of farming and you've got to be here.
How could you do this?
How could you do that? Yeah. Yes. How could you break this and this and that? Well, it's about finding what inspires a person. Maybe that person is meant to be a great athlete. And what if they let that go by just saying, oh, okay, I'm going to go against what I really want to do, and I'll go ahead and stick with the family operation just out of guilt or just out of necessity, instead of striving for something bigger, like that, living that dream.
Or maybe they're not supposed to be a successful athlete, but they're meant to experience that experience. That's part of their journey. And they're meant to do something with sports, and that leads them, you know, maybe they're meant to do a program for children with sports, but they don't end up doing that without living that experience.
Sure. Absolutely.
So there's other, you know, there's other avenues as well.
Absolutely. So
to express yourself.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's not, there's always the grand dream, because we see these people who are successful athletes or successful actors, especially in Los Angeles area, they're all over the place, or New York or London. I mean, it's wanting to reach that pinnacle. And that's not always the case. Can the vision-based living part of it is, can a person be confident and be authentic with where they're at? So if they're passionate about sports, hey, maybe they didn't become the next professional athlete, but yes, they're able to live in that interest and teach kids or coach a team or volunteer or be on like after-hours league that gives them exercise and fun and something that still shows that passion. So it doesn't have to mean success.
I wanted to mention that as well too, because I think that's a little bit of an ego thing, where we're such a success-based society, as far as, you know, we glamorize the ultra ultra wealthy and the ultra ultra successful, and then people beat themselves up if they don't reach these pinnacles like you're talking about. But you don't have to do that to still be very happy and be living that authentic life like you're talking about. Right. And it doesn't mean you're a loser or a failure or there's anything wrong with you. I think it's important, because we have such a success-based society that a lot of people feel like a loser or a failure if they don't, you know, become A-Rod or J-Lo or Madonna or whoever. But that is the exception, not the norm, but it's still so important for you to live your authentic life. You know, you had a passion inside of yourself to write this book, and whether or not this book sells one copy or a million copies, I hope a million copies, you still were expressing your authentic self, giving this knowledge and information that you wanted to share. And because of that, the world is a better place and you are a happier person. Because absolutely. I'm sure if you had this book inside you and you didn't, you know, put it out there, that would be you being inauthentic.
Absolutely. Success look so many different ways. Not everyone is going to be the next A-Rod or the next best-selling author or the next award-winning actor or actress. It is about being content within and being okay with that. People set high expectations, and there is going to be some letdown possibly if the expectations are too high, but also that's where the dream comes from. Some people are able to fulfill it. Others are able to fulfill it in a way, like we mentioned earlier about coaching kids or being able to express themselves in some way. But there's also got to be a reality to it where it matches where the person is at. They may want to be the next home run king in baseball, but unfortunately things have not worked out that way, you know, and maybe the skill level is not there, whatever it is, but still.
But them participating in baseball instead of family farming in your example is still following their authentic living. That's the point that I was trying to make.
Yes. Yeah. It's what they're interested in.
Yeah.
Each person has their own interest and really their own purpose. That's a lot to get into. That is heavily throughout the book. So any of the listeners who want to learn more, definitely check out the book on visionbasedliving.com so you can really learn about the ins and outs of
connecting to your vision. Yep. Sean gave a lot of really good examples in the book of how to find your vision, how to connect with your vision, how to establish it. But I just wanted to get that because that's a concept that I even struggled with until recently. I saw this amazing interview with, I believe it was Sarah Paulson, who is a working actress, successful working actress, and on a couple shows right now. And she said to me that was so profound. She said, you know, I had to understand that even if I never got on a big show and I just did community theater and no one ever knew who in the heck I was, that I still created a tremendous amount of value because I was living my passion and living my dream. And you just never know. You just never know. I did a show, you know, and this guy came up to me and said, you know, I heard that you perform for the troops and I want to thank you because those comedy shows on base, if I wouldn't have gone to them, I would have killed myself.
Wow.
I would have put a bullet in my head because it was just too much. And so, you know, someone could point to me and say, well, Rosie's no Robin Williams. You know, she's not making millions in comedy. She's not a success. I'm living my dream. I'm giving and sharing love and passion. And this guy, you know, told me I may have saved his life. So you really have no concept of the ripple effect you're making. You know, your book, someone may pick it up and be in a place where you were and so miserable, and it may shift their consciousness.
Absolutely. And it's about, you can make a difference for one person, and that matters most in that moment. And it's not making a difference for tens of millions of people. It's who is it affected right now? Like one stand-up show in that example made a difference for that person in a huge way. And I've experienced similar where I've been able to coach people through very, very challenging times and to really stand there for them to transform their own life that has probably stopped them from doing something extreme like that.
Let's talk about your life coaching. So you're doing coaching. You've helped many people through leadership programs and other things like that. How has that experience influenced your writing?
It's been a monumental experience because so many hours I have worked with people, either one-on-one or in groups, and that's literally where the learning happens because each person has a unique experience. And it's really hearing and listening to what is going on with a person to be able to serve them. And it's just from that experience where really getting underneath the issues that people are dealing with to be able to serve them so that they can make the choice to live in a better way instead of going into this void of darkness or void of depression or void of anger. So many people live angry and frustrated lives. And it's about identifying that. And that's through coaching. I was able to work with people, and I still do, where I'm able to identify what's really going on, because so many people, well, a person cannot see themselves. It's like,
Let's talk about, you said what's really going on. So I think a person who hasn't done that much work in themselves would be offended and say, well, Sean, how do you know more about myself than me? I know myself. How dare you say that you can just go in and just see what's happening with me? Let's talk about that. Cause I've heard that before from people. I've heard that, you know, I actually coached someone as well that had said, they said, well, how dare you? And then, you know, 6 months later they said, oh my God, you were so right about this. Let's talk about these blind spots that people have that you have coached. Is this ego protecting us? Why do we have these?
Sure. Absolutely. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to be made to feel wrong or that we've made mistakes, because Lord knows a person has made plenty of mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes.
We all have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of life. And by the way, everybody, be okay with those mistakes, because there are huge lessons to learn moving forward. I want to go back to what you were just mentioning and remind me the point to hit.
It said you were talking about people, you know, doing the real work. Mm-hmm. And that you've been able to spot these blind spots. And I'm asking you as a life coach and a mentor, that how do you identify these, and why are people not able to see themselves? Why is it so hard for people to see their blind spots?
Okay, awesome.
And why is it so important to have a coach or a friend to help?
So let's go back to the athlete or the person that wants to be in baseball or whatever it is. So there's coaches to see the skill, because a person cannot see themselves from outside of themselves.
Not just physically, but mentally, emotionally.
Physically, yeah. Mentally, emotionally. A person can show up outside of themselves. They may think that everything's cool on the inside, but on the outside, they just look physically wrecked. There's something going on. They look emotionally distraught, stressed out. But then they'll say, oh, no, everything's good. Everything's okay. But they'll be happy. They're not sleeping in the night. Things are bothering them. They're easily irritated. And it's literally being that outside person, not on a baseball field or whatever that is. It's working with the person outside of them and really being there for them to listen. And coaching somebody, whether it's life coaching, I'm a vision coach.
Okay.
And it's something that I'm able to serve people with my expertise in terms of vision. Like, everybody lives life. So in that way, life coach is like, everyone's a life coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there's really no right or wrong way to live other than the way a person wants to live authentically. And being able to see the greatness that is within each person, that is a huge gift to be able to see that, because that's one thing that people cannot see for themselves, because they're not outside of themselves.
And sometimes we're too hard on ourselves, I think. I think a lot of people have a hard time seeing their greatness and seeing how amazing they are. And also, we've been taught that, you know, you don't want to be too braggadocious. You don't want to be too up on yourself. You want to be humble. And so there's a lot of social conditioning, familial conditioning, and other things like that, where people... And a lot of, you know, ego bashing yourself. Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm not smart. I'm not this and that. And I think sometimes it takes someone else to bring that out.
Absolutely. It takes a person outside of themselves to see what is really possible for that person, because we're our own worst critics. We human beings, we're all human beings. We're all here right now. But we put these limitations and these expectations, and it takes someone else outside. I've had so many coaches, I can't even, like, a ton of coaches.
And each coach brings a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it should be almost mandatory, especially growing up, where it's like a counselor or a coach or somebody that is able to be there to support. Because coaching is not telling someone what they should be doing. Coaching is really asking a lot of questions and allowing the person to discover it for themselves. It's about inspiring a person versus motivating a person. And so many people miss that. And it's really tough when having put so many years into coaching and serving people on staff or being part of a team, it's frustrating to see the motivation side versus inspiring somebody to want to just be a better person and be kind. one thing I want to talk about, because you mentioned that earlier, this is not a transformation show. I really would like to talk about transformation in itself so it's more palatable for people.
Great.
I talk about that a lot in the book. So there's all these home shows like kitchen remodel or home makeover or, you know,
that's not the transformation
landscape
he's about.
Landscape miracles or whatever. No, it's not the transformation I'm talking about. But if a person thinks of themselves as their home remodel or their bathroom transformation or their home makeover or their new yard out front, it's very similar. A person can transform their life just like they can transform their kitchen or remodel their kitchen. Think of it as remodeling a person.
But it's inside.
But it's inside.
The inside of the house.
Yes, exactly. It's like literally like gutting all the stuff that's not working in the house and that
putting
being
new stuff or better stuff or whatever.
Yeah, just making those improvements. It's about being kind within instead of being a jerk. So many people are jerks. It's so frustrating to see so many people that it's all ego based. But really, if people allow themselves just to be kind, they'll be treated in the same way. So when a person comes from a place of being anger or frustrated, that's what's exactly going to show up. And I talk about this a lot in the book, is what the way a person's being and how they're acting is going to show up in the world around them. And that's such a powerful point. So if I'm walking around being in a bad mood or depressed or whatever it is, there's going to be instances of that showing up. It could be seeing an argument that happens. It could be being involved in an argument. It could be seeing some kind of accident. It's just a manifestation of what's going on within. And like today was awesome.
We are psychological projection machines.
Yes.
So we will reflect that. But it's not, because a lot of people, I think that this type of stuff you're talking about is very hokey. It's pseudoscience. Oh, the secret, you know, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the stuff that you're saying is actually very scientific. You know, there are multiple studies that show, you know, I mean, just think about it. Let's think about you, the listener, if you're at work and your boss is in a super bad mood, right? It's very hard for you to be joyful and happy and be in a good mood as well. And, you know, it may be hokey to say, well, their vibration is, you know, vibrating at this one level. Maybe that's too, quote unquote, you know, woo or whatever for most of you that are listening. But if someone is in a bad mood, it's going to affect you. I mean, that is just common sense. So what you're talking about someone that's living in an inauthentic state where they're so angry, they're so fear-based, they're so egomaniacal, that is going to reflect in their outside world. And that's that, you know, that's not some kind of weird, you know, mystical, metaphysical thing. That's just, if you're grumpy all the time, you're going to make other people grumpy and attract grumpiness.
Absolutely. It's because that's what's driving a person in their world. Yeah. If their inner world is full of frustration, that's what's going to show up on their outer world.
And you know, I know people that are so miserable and negative, and they're like, well, I can't find someone. That's why I'm so unhappy. I can't find someone. Well, who the heck's going to want to be with someone like that? So it's like your beingness is creating what you're attracting. You know, if you're a miserable person, why in the heck would a sweet, loving, joyful, abundant person want to be near you? Right?
Sure. Sure. People focus on, and for all of you listeners, if you're focused on what's wrong or what's missing or what don't have, people go through a lot of issues and a lot of problems that can be overcome if the mindset can shift a little bit. It's not to avoid those problems that are happening. It's to not perpetuate them or make them worse by saying, oh, I don't have this, or I've got debt, or whatever the situation is. It's really working with the person on the inside. How can I improve this situation?
Yes. And that's the transformation you're talking about. Let's get out the old pipes, gut them out.
Yep.
And let's try to start. And it's a day by day thing. It's a process. Like you said, you know, that amazing quote that you said, the longest journey is from your head to your heart. It's not going to be overnight. It takes months and months and months to renovate a house. And some of us have, you know, years and years and years and years and years of bad piping and baggage and paint peeling off the walls that needs to be scraped.
Sure. Absolutely. Get out those scrapers. Yeah.
A little bit every day.
A little bit every day. It is a practice. And really, it's a daily practice from here on out. even though when I stepped through the doors of my first leadership training or transformational training 10 years ago, that was 10 years ago. And I'm still, look, a person still transforms daily, and it is a choice and it is a practice. The great thing is, long ago, pre-transformation, let's call it, before I understood that life was meant to be lived in a more kind and joyful fashion, if I was upset about something, it would linger for a long time. I would be stressed out for a long time. It could be weeks, days, it could be months, it could be years. I mean, there were years in my business where I was just stressed out all the time. And so many people have worked for companies for so many years and they're stressed out all the time. And it's time to let go of the stress. But yes, it takes a while. It's like practice. One of the things I mentioned in the book is, think of transforming the self as a daily sort of routine. Like, how you get out of bed is how you're going to approach the day. And if you get out of bed in a bad mood, probably the day is going to unfold pretty well, not so good. But if you can take a moment and just be like, okay, things are going to be better today. Like, I'm alive. Start to be grateful about things. Like, I have a house over my head, a roof over my head. I have a family. Things are okay. I actually have a job. Like, start to be grateful about these little things that upset them. Be grateful that you actually have a job instead of complaining about it every day. And if a person's not happy about it, they can work on finding another one, which also takes practice.
I want to talk about something very, very important that you mentioned early on in this episode about you being stressed out of your mind, your business, and almost hitting rock bottom before you walked into the door. Do you, of that leadership class, do you think that hitting rock bottom was essential for you to change? I'm not insinuating that you have to hit rock bottom to change. I'm saying, in your experience, do you think that that was a catalyst for you?
I believe so. Rock bottom means different things for different people. For me, it was like, what now? Like, I've spent so many years running business and things were headed in a certain direction, especially after like the market crash and all of that that happened years ago. It just became like, is it really worth it? Like, I think there's a rock bottom is like a melting point where enough is enough. And it could be different for someone else, where they've been depressed for so long that finally one day, this one day comes for whatever reason that they're like, I'm tired of being unhappy. I'm tired of being frustrated, or I'm tired of being stressed out.
And something's got to give.
Something's got to give. And I think that's what rock bottom is. People have, like, multi-billionaires and millionaires have like filed for bankruptcy and lost everything. And maybe that's rock bottom for them. For me, it was something else. For another person, it's going to be something else. It takes more of a realization that enough is enough. And a person has to want to change. So transformation, by the way, is change. Transformation and change go hand in hand. And so many people are resistant to change because of the fears that come with it. But if a person is fed up with where they're at, they want to change something. They could be super successful and have a great career, a great family. Everything's great, but one thing, whatever that is. So it's not like people have to have tons and tons of problems to be able to transform their life or to change their life. Everything could be awesome, but one thing. That one thing could be, yeah, everything's great. I have a great family, but I have $100,000 of debt. Or maybe they work out all the time. They have a great six-figure job, but they're not married. They don't have a healthy
personal life.
So they go home alone, et cetera, whatever that is. It's going to be different for everybody. Or they're in college and things are going awesome, but then they graduate in a few months and what now?
They're lost.
Yeah. Like, you go out into the world and it's been like 4 years of, hey, awesome fraternity parties and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I've been there. So it's about what's coming next, and the fear starts to kick in. So rock bottom can look different ways, but it's a point where change is to happen in a person's life and only they know.
And I think the most important thing that you mentioned is the desire to change, because Lord knows I've been in so many relationships where I wanted to change someone and they didn't want to change. And really it was about me. I had to change myself. But You know, if someone doesn't want to change, they're not going to. And I think wanting to change is so important because we're constantly growing and evolving as human beings and as individual people. And you're kind of being inauthentic to yourself if you don't change, because no one is the same person that they were 10 years ago. You know, we all are constantly growing and evolving. You know, I think Oprah says if you're not completely embarrassed about what you did last year, you're not growing enough.
Sure, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes, lots of embarrassing moments in the past.
And it's okay. It's okay
it's
to
totally
be
okay.
Completely embarrassed about something you did 5-10 years ago, because that means that you're evolving. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were just totally happy with everything, not happy, but content with everything that you've ever done, you know, I don't know that you would be a very self-reflective person.
Sure. Look, congratulations, everybody. We've all made mistakes. We've all woken up the next morning and have been like, uh-oh, what did I do? You know, it's about evolving and wanting life to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's that point where I give up. What now? Let me improve things.
You talk about, you know, standing for something in the book and, you know, along with having a vision, standing for something, having, I guess, a purpose, you know, a point to all of this. And I think that that is so important, because a lot of people, I think, don't know the reason that they're doing stuff. And that is kind of like the summary from what I gathered is, what is your vision? What are you standing for? What direction are you going in? And it's okay to stop mid-direction and say, hey, I'm going the wrong direction.
Absolutely. It's, yeah, direction. I talk about the path, like the life path, in a book. So it is, what direction am I headed? And if a person is not happy where they're at, probably the direction where they're headed is going to be more of the same, more unhappiness. And it's about the ability to change that path so that a person can get on a level that works for them, for what they want, for what they're inspired by, instead of the continual routine or the continual unhappiness. It could be they're just done with the point where they're at. Maybe they've had a career that's been 7 years and they want to switch over to something else. That's totally great. Or people in college, 4 years, they're done. Now what? And that's a big point where people get in their life, where they're on a certain path. They've accomplished this degree or their master's degree or their doctorate, whatever this is. And it's like, what now? So that's a point where change happens as well. And they could be going for tons and tons of jobs and nothing is coming through. They're going to have to find something else to do to fulfill that necessity of living in a way that creates an income, and still with that, to find things that they're joyful and passionate about.
I mean, you've switched paths. You're someone who switched paths halfway.
Absolutely.
You stopped and you're like, this isn't for me, and did a, I don't know if I would say 180, maybe 45, 90 degrees.
Yeah, it's so funny. I've actually been able to identify things in life. Like I mentioned before, I've spent many years as a performer. I did so many stage shows and performances and singing and acting and some TV work here and there. But when I was very, very young, I remember when I was in second grade when I did my first like little school play in my school solo. And that went on for years and years. And I realized as I pieced things together that I've always had the desire to entertain people. And now the desire is to really serve people so that they can transform their life and embrace change and be the best version of themselves that they can truly be, and be okay with that. Not to impress anybody, not to make anyone happy other than themselves. If a person is content and happy within, they're living life awesome.
And you'll have a blast even with 4 people in the audience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is the most important message that you would say to someone who says, Sean, why should I read your book?
There's so many of them. This book is really big.
You get one.
So I get one.
For right now.
You have a purpose on this planet. Each person is alive right now, and each person is here to fulfill a divine purpose, I believe. And whatever that purpose is, is up to each person to decide for themselves. And it could be just being the best parent. It could be being the entrepreneur. It could be
Say just parent, because that's parenting is not easy.
Well, I didn't. I'm teasing. I don't mean just. I'm saying it doesn't have to be something huge and grand.
You don't have to be Madonna. You don't have to be J-Rod.
Yeah, yeah. You can be content with where you're at. You could be the best stand-up comedian ever.
Well, but that is amazing, positive message, Sean. How can people find the book?
Visionbasedliving.com. I'm also on social media. You can find me on Instagram, Sean David Live, and on Twitter, Sean David Live. There's a lot of amazing things moving forward with the book. I'm going to have online courses, but really the book is the place to start. And it's palatable, and there's a lot of information in there. There's a lot to grab hold of. And one of the things I mentioned early on in the book, the very first pages, I say, this is a powerful book. And it's going to have people look at themselves in a way that may have them feel a little bit uncomfortable, because it's hard to look at the self and be like, okay, something has to give, something needs to change. But how much longer can a person live in the same way? So this book will serve as a guide for people to transform, to inspire, to embrace change, and to live from a place of authenticity versus a place of ego.
Yes, and I think that's very important. And unfortunately, in the crazy, crazy world that we live in, I think everyone needs to do a little bit more self-reflecting and find a little bit more centeredness with what's happening and what's been happening. And I think Sean's book is an amazing place to start. Check out outoftheboxpodcast.com, and I'll have all of Sean's social media links, including links to the book, if you're interested to go get it. I do not get paid for referring you guys. I just want you guys to have a better life. So check it out. But if you guys do want to support the podcast financially, go to Anchor. We are now on Anchor, where you can check us out, support us, do a little monthly support. And as always, we take cash, crypto, whatever on outoftheboxpodcast.com if you guys want to support. And we're on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you can find podcasts. This has been Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran.